Hello, this is Nikki Lynn Pugh, aka The Gentle Traveler, and welcome to the Victim to Victorious Summit. I have with me Tara Bianca. Tara Bianca is the owner of Be Light Transformative Therapies. That is an online holistic wellness company that uses breathwork, mindset coaching, and sound healing to facilitate powerful personal growth. And her goal is to empower you to shift your self-limiting beliefs so that you can live the life of your dreams. That is awesome. Tara has a rich history, lots of experience. She's a holistic practitioner and educator for almost 20 years in the New York City area. She was, and now you're upstate, right? Now you're in-
Now I'm in New Haven, Connecticut area.
Awesome. Yep. Beautiful, beautiful area. Mm-hmm. And she moved her company full online in 2020, I'm assuming because of what's happening in the world.
Yep.
And by the way, I have been listening to Tara's, YouTube, videos, and they're just phenomenal. They've really helped me to relax. Sometimes I'll just get a snippet of like 5 minutes or 10 minutes and just the breathing techniques are awesome. So I'm actually really, really excited to talk to you today, Tara, about breathing. And you might be saying, well, what's the big thing about breathing? You know, it's something you do automatically. You don't think about it, right? Actually, we probably should think about breathing more than we do, because a lot of times people are actually holding their breath, especially if you're in a stress response. And Tara's going to talk about that, all the ins and outs of that. And I just want to put a personal note that I was sharing with Tara off camera. My mother had fibromyalgia, migraine headaches, and she was going through all kinds of stuff. And she went through a deep breathing class, and it totally, totally turned her around. She learned how to do breathing techniques that turned her health around, stopped her migraine headaches. And she realized that she was holding her breath. And I think there was actually, I was trying to find it beforehand, but there actually is a study that was done, like a survey study, that said most people actually do hold their breath. And they're not aware of their breathing, or even that breathing can help you with health. So that's my plug for breathing. And Tara is going to talk about all that stuff. But first, Tara, I want to kind of introduce the subject. If you would be so kind to share your story about how you got started with breath work, and so there were some things going on in your life that made you kind of stop and think, wow, I really have to take a look at maybe my stress responses and health. What was going on?
Sure. So Nikki, thanks so much for having me on today. And I love this opening plug. I think people are already hooked into understanding better already that breathing is so critical to our health, or it's especially an important component to pay more attention to than we already do. So my personal story, you know, I was a really lucky kid. I already had sort of the physical movement kind of ingrained into me by my parents, and we had a pretty good diet also. We've had some health problems in the family, and there is a history of blood cancers, for example, that run in my family. So from a young girl, we were really taking a food healing approach. And so I have that background already of, from a little girl, being interested in movement and nutrition and how that affects our body. But what was happening as I was aging, you know, I was a dancer, so I was really physical, and I was a gymnast, so very physical, very physically minded. And around the age of 16, I started to develop these horrible digestive problems that were really debilitating for me, zapping me with my energy, affecting my mood. I started to get more depression, anxiety. And, you know, I think anyone who's listening, who's ever had some kind of gut, what we call a dysbiosis, but just like inflammatory gut problems, IBS, things like this, you realize there's such a head to belly connection. And so often what's going on in our gut affects our mood and our ability to interact with people well around us. We tend to get anxiety, depression, low self-worth, low self-esteem. And so there's this real mind-body connection with a issue like that, with a health issue like that. And so I went to college. I went to NYU. I was obsessed with being in New York. I really had this idea in the back of my head that I was going to be a professional dancer, right? But I was such a shy kid, but I was holding on to the dream, like, can this shy girl from Connecticut become a professional dancer in New York. And what happened during college was I was so obsessed with movement. I was so obsessed with what I was eating. I thought I was doing all of the right things, and I was in worse condition than ever. My symptoms were just getting worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. So for the people out there listening who you think you're doing all the right things and you're so frustrated because you're like, why is this happening? I'm doing everything that the doctors are telling me. I'm doing everything that the magazines say to do. And I still feel horrible. I still have no energy and I still can't overcome these symptoms. You're not alone. A lot of us have been there, and it's a real personal journey to find that final piece that really makes the biggest impact in your life. And so for me, the breathing started to make that impact, quite honestly. It took me a while to find it though. I had this debilitating gut issue, this debilitating gut inflammation. My senior year of college, I could barely leave the house. I had to give up my dreams of being a professional dancer because there was no way for me to audition. And you tie into that all the body image issues that go with being a dancer. You can't be on stage with a belly the size of a basketball, it's not congruent. Wow.
So this was really kind of grinding your life to a halt in a way.
It was grinding my life to a halt. Wow. And then, I was always so active and so involved with the performing arts. And I wound up taking a job, like a part-time job in college. And I continued it full-time afterwards. And talk about being stuck in a rut. I mean, I was so poorly suited for this career. It was a museum job. I was working in a basement all day, no access to sunlight, sitting at a desk for hours. I had always been moving nonstop, and now I'm totally sedentary. Oh, yeah. I'm doing work that I have no interest in doing. And I was really having a breakdown. I mean, that's when the suicidal thoughts come up and all of that just disastrous, like starting to look in, the wrong direction for treating symptomology, drinking too much, those types of things. You really get sucked into it because you're so desperate to change your life and you don't know how to do it. Yeah. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I really don't know what the final breaking point was or what the impetus was, but I was just so disgusted with that job, and it was going nowhere and it was destroying my health. And I couldn't believe that that was the life I had created for myself. And, somehow I got massage therapy into my head, right? So I had always kind of incidentally been massaging people and doing body work informally as a dancer. We're kind of a very touchy-feely crew. And I had sort of been maybe doing some massage with people before I knew it was a licensed profession. Like, I just didn't know all the ins and outs. And so I decided to go back to school for massage therapy. And that was my initial into the holistic health world formally as a career. And so that was when I was about maybe 25 years old. And so when I went back to school for massage therapy, I also got a certification in personal training, and that was the beginning of the path. And then over the next, 17 years or so, it's trickled into a million different certifications, constant learning, constant delving into all of these topics around holistic health, nutrition, food healing, Qigong, yoga, Tai Chi, Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, sound healing, all these things. And then
so many things.
And what was happening is, I was still kind of stuck in the physical movement component. Yeah. And I kept hearing teachers relate breath to movement. Like in the yoga class, you always hear them relating breath to the movement. Let the breath guide the movement. Don't let it be the opposite, right? And in Qigong, the same thing. In Tai Chi, the same thing. So these ancient teachings kept coming at me of like, the breath is important, but I couldn't find the why, and I couldn't find like a really concrete how. And so it really sent me searching for it. And it took a while, but I'd say really only in the last 5 to 7 years have I really started to cultivate a continuous breath practice for myself and really implement that with my clients in my private practice and now online. And so that's how I got here. I mean, it's a long journey. And again, for anyone listening, sometimes you just have to be okay with where you're at the journey and know that everything and anything could potentially help. It's just about finding the right match at the right moment in your life,
And so I'm just to segue just a little bit. So I'm assuming that as you got more into natural healing and breath work, your tummy issues also balanced out. I know that's for some of us, it's kind of a lifelong thing, consistently finding what works, what doesn't work. But
right.
Have you noticed that has helped as well?
Yeah, so I would say today it was the combination, but definitely it's taken down that inflammation. And even though, you know, we live in a world where we're constantly bombarded with so much stuff, you know, toxins and information, all this, it's a lot to process. So the tummy stuff is always going to be there a little, but what I find is I have so many tools to manage it now, and I don't feel debilitated, like I can't leave my house, or that I'm embarrassed to be around people, or that I'm stuck in depression and anxiety that is out of my control. You know, I've taken back a piece of control, a piece of autonomy to really help myself survive and even thrive, you know? So that's huge. I mean, that's really big. And that's where the breath work really plays a key role.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Do we want to dive in a little bit to, to the whole topic? Starting with, I would think, you know, breathing, breath, and stress responses, the parasympathetic, the sympathetic, that's that whole gamut. Breath and health. Take it away, Tara. I mean, it's such a huge topic, but I know you're going to take us down.
Yeah. Healing
path. That's going to end, folks. Don't go away. It's going to end with amazing exercises for about 10 minutes that Tara's going to.
Yeah, I'm going to guide you guys through two different exercises at the end if you stick around. Yeah, so Nikki, you know, I think some of the resistance to breath work that I find from people is that it feels a little like maybe too spiritually oriented for people, or a little too esoteric. And I find people get weirded out when you start talking about breathing. And it's so comical to me. And I want to just start with a little basic breath awareness just to really like hook you guys into seeing that your breath is more important than you're giving it credit for. So, you know, you take about maybe 20,000 breaths per day. And yet it's this thing that is so vital to our existence. It's literally the only reason that we're sitting here talking to each other, the only reason that we're breathing, and yet we completely take it for granted. This is something that we can't go more than a few minutes without, and right. We never think about it ever. You know, and I think in typical human fashion, it's because it does happen automatically, whether we're thinking about it or not, kind of under our level of conscious awareness. So it takes a little bit of awareness of the thing to finally start to make changes and to notice if it is potentially a little dysfunctional, if it could be better, et cetera. So I really want to just emphasize that for you guys, that because we do this thing so many times during the day, 24/7, even when we're sleeping, your breathing is even more important than what you are eating or what you are drinking. I would almost argue that your breathing is the most important thing you're doing for your health today. And it's a big statement, but I really want to start to put it in the forefront of your brain. You know, Nikki, you were mentioning your mom dealing with all of those chronic issues. And I think if you look at our health system today, or our kind of sick management system today, I would argue that probably 50% of the population or more are dealing with some kind of chronic inflammatory, chronic degenerative disease. And this goes for orthopedic conditions like low back pain, neck pain. It goes for all your autoimmune diseases, ADHD, all the mood disorders. You know, there's always an inflammatory component. And as we continue to look for a root cause, it's premature to discount dysfunctional breathing as something that, if it's not the root cause of the disease, it could be exacerbating your symptoms. So I just want to invite you guys to start investigating your breath and thinking about, well, how can I potentially breathe better? And how is how I am breathing now potentially exacerbating some of the symptomology that I've been struggling with for so long? So that's sort of my plug.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that also goes for things like anxiety, depression.
1000%.
I'm sure there's a component to once you start breathing better, or actually using breathing techniques to lower stress, then that can also probably help with issues like PTSD, where trauma of triggers can arise. And a lot of those factors play into how we handle crisis. A lot of times we can't control the things that happen in our lives externally, somebody passes away, or, you know, you lose your job or whatever, but how we handle those, how we deal with them in the moment, that's based on what's going on internally, right?
1000%. And I'm so glad you segued there. So when I teach my students nowadays, we'll be doing a breathing exercise. And I always find myself reminding them, guys, we are conditioning the breathing, but as we're conditioning your breathing, know that you are also conditioning your nervous system. And the little snippet that I always give them, the mantra that I always give them, is that the condition of your nervous system in any given moment is shaping and determining your perception of your reality, of the world around you, of your immediate environment. And so that's a big statement. So how can that be, right? What does that even mean? Right. So I want you guys to start to think about every thought that you have in your head, every emotion that comes up, every feeling that comes up, any perception, any judgment that you make is causing an actual cascade of physiological responses in your body. They are not separate. Everything is intertwined. So Nikki, I'm going to ask you, because you're here with me, but people listening, you can also ask yourselves this. Let's think of an extreme case, an extreme example, right? Can you think of a time in your life, or have you ever in your life just had a thought where you were so angry, or had such a hateful thought about someone in your personal life, or maybe a politician in the world, and you just had such a disdainful, angry thought? Have you ever had an experience like that?
Yes.
Okay. And so when you have, so when you have that angry, hateful thought, what are you feeling in your body?
Tension. Mm-hmm. Tension. Usually it's like gut tension, maybe even pain.
Right. Sure.
And maybe even pain, you know.
Yeah. And but, so it's going to be, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's it. Just change.
It's going to be different for everybody. But the point is, it starts as a thought and it stems into this full systemic, full body physiological reaction. Yeah. Your emotions and your physical body are completely intertwined. And what's funny to me is that we use the language, but we don't take it literally. So we'll say things like, oh my God, this guilt is killing me, or I have to get this off my chest, right? Yeah. We're literally like doing the thing. We're saying, I have to get this weight off my chest. I have to tell this person this thing. I can't breathe. I have to get this weight off, right? And so we use the language. Use the language figuratively, but we forget there's a real literal component to that. That language, that idiom comes from a certain place. And it comes from the fact that those emotions that we're feeling, those thoughts that we're having, those beliefs that we continue to perpetuate are stimulating the nervous system. And so things like anger, things like guilt, things like shame, they cause an inflammatory reaction in the body. They stimulate your nervous system. So I want to just really, again, highlight for you guys that your nervous system and your experience of the world is very intertwined. So now, how does that relate back to breathing more specifically? Let's really look at an example of what happens in a crisis moment with your breath and how that affects your nervous system and your ability to respond in that situation.
Yeah.
So for example, let's use the idea of starting with a thought again, right? So something happens and now I have an anxious thought, and that's the stimulus, right? That's the initiation. So I have an anxious thought and now the monkey mind is going and the mental chatter is going and it's nonstop. And what is the first thing to get affected in my physical body, in my physiological body? My breathing changes. Mm-hmm. And all of you who experience anxiety regularly, maybe you can close your eyes now and feel into that, like thinking about when you have an anxious thought, what is happening to your breathing? Usually two things happen. One is you stop breathing. You just shut down, you freeze. The other thing that usually happens for people is it gets very shallow, it gets very fast, and it tends to get very upper chest. Yeah. Your whole diaphragm freezes, your rib cage freezes, you're not able to mobilize, and instead you're driving the breath very shallow and fast. And so now if you look at this shallow, fast breathing, what does that do to the brain? What message does this send to the brain? Evolutionarily speaking, if you're breathing fast and upper chest, you are running for your life, or you're running to hide from something, or you're starting a fight with someone. It sends a signal to your brain that you are not safe, that you are being threatened, that the environment around you isn't safe, that the people around you are dangerous. So this breathing pattern sends the signal of lack of safety to your brain. And then how do you respond in kind? Your actions now are that of, this world is not safe. This world is not kind. It's not welcoming. My life is being threatened. And my behavior becomes, I have to protect myself. I have to remain guarded. I have to defend, or I have to lash out. I have to fight. I have to run and hide. I can't be seen. I can't be heard. That was my programming for a long time. I'm afraid to be seen. I'm afraid to be heard because I don't want to get hurt. You know, I don't want to be in that situation where someone can hurt me. And so that to me is the definition of a crisis. You're in it, right?
You have the anxious. I mean, that can happen just because of a thought.
Right.
Or you have an interaction with somebody at work that's unpleasant. Right. You have to, a lot of people feel that way when they have to give a presentation in front of people, right?
100%.
That becomes a crisis for you. So
it's the crisis. Yeah. I mean, that is the definition.
Logically, it's the same reaction as right. You're really in a, you know, like you got in a car accident or something. It's the same, right?
100,000%. Right. And so let's look at the flip side of it then, right? So now we were talking about breath awareness in the beginning. So let's say you guys are finally starting to be more aware of your breath. You've been practicing noticing your breath more and more every day, every moment of the day. How am I breathing when I'm driving? How am I breathing when I'm taking the dog for a walk? How am I breathing when I'm playing with my kids, when I'm interacting with my colleagues, when I'm in the shower? You're noticing more. And then you have an anxious thought and now you're noticing, oh, wow, I do really get that fast upper chest breathing when I'm anxious. Or, oh my God, I really hold my breath when I'm anxious. So now you have the awareness. So now you're confronted with a stressor in your life. You're confronted with something that gives you that anxious thought, but you've been cultivating this breath awareness. So now what can you do in that moment to totally flip the scenario and how you're going to respond in that scenario? You can start by hacking into your breath. You can use your breathing to hack directly into your nervous system. That's the biggest gift that we have. So now I have the anxious thought. I'm breathing fast in upper chest. I'm aware of it. I'm saying, okay, Tara, you have to slow down your breath. Tara, start to deepen your breath. Keep your mouth closed, slow it down, deepen it. I don't know if people can see me, but what I do with my students all the time is I say, if your breath is stuck up here and fast, I get my hands, I wrap them around my rib cage, either side of the lower ribs with a little bit of gentle inward pressure. And I breathe in and out through my nose. As I breathe in through my nose, I feel my ribs gently pushing my hands out. And as I exhale, I feel my hands gently pushing my ribs in. And as I breathe in, I feel my ribs gently pressing my hands out. And as I breathe out, I feel my hands gently pushing my ribs in. What this does is it deepens the breath. It slows down the breath. And this type of breathing, nasal breathing and deep diaphragmatic breathing, sends a signal to your brain that you are safe, that your environment is secure. It starts to stimulate what we call the parasympathetic nervous system. And the parasympathetic nervous system, we sometimes refer to as the rest and digest nervous system. Why do we call it that? Because it puts you in this mindset, into this physiological place where you feel safe enough to sit and have a meal with your family, to take the time to digest your food, to take the time for good digestion, to feel safe enough to close your eyes and go into deep regenerative sleep without having to worry about someone chasing you, someone attacking you. And so we can create that sensation, that physiological response with our breath. So now I'm in that same situation, that same stressful situation, but I've gotten control of my breathing. I've flipped the internal environment where now I've created a sense of safety for myself. What is that going to do for my decision-making, for my perception of the situation, and how I choose to respond in that situation? Hopefully now I can look at this with more objective eyes and see, okay, this isn't even necessarily about me, or this situation is not as threatening as I thought it was. Now mm-hmm. the world is starting to look more safe, more secure to me. This mm-hmm. person is not really as threatening as I thought. I feel confident here now. I feel more open. My mind is calmer. I can think more clearly and make a choice for myself about how I want to respond as opposed to just being stuck in reaction mode, right? And I think that's the huge difference, this coming to a crossroads where you really have a choice about how you want to respond. And so if you choose that you still want to freak out, I mean, that's on you.
And you okay. can.
You can. It's totally fine.
You might go there as well, but just there is a difference in terms of the neural firings from the limbic than when you do these breathings, right? Doesn't it go into your frontal cortex? There's more energy in your frontal for just decision making, for creative thinking. You literally cannot. This was fascinating when I learned. You literally cannot make a creative, even logical choice.
Right.
Other than to run when you're operating from fight or flight.
Right.
because right. all of your energy is going to your extremities.
Great. It's a
so
great,
it's like, you can't do it, you know?
100%, 100%. And yeah. the extension of this also, just from a holistic practitioner point of view, I think you probably have a lot of holistic practitioners on that. This part of your nervous system, this parasympathetic nervous system, this rest and digest, this is healing. This is safety, you know? And so, you know, part of our job as holistic practitioners is we're not there to heal you, right? We're there to facilitate your own internal healing. We're there to create a safe container for you, a space where you can finally lie down, feel safe and secure, take the time to rest, take the time to deep breathe so that you have everything you need to create the internal terrain that supports your own healing. And that's why it's funny, you know, there's a million different modalities, and I think it's very confusing for the consumer, but a little industry secret, which maybe not all practitioners are going to agree with me, at the end of the day, every modality sort of is serving the same purpose. We want you to get into a space where you can do the best healing for yourself. And that's why not every technique works for everybody. You have to find the thing that really works for you, that sets the mood for you, that allows you to feel the safest and allows you to go into that healing mode. Too many yes. of us are stuck in this hyper-facilitated stress response. You know, we practice it a million times a day, sparking our anxiety, sparking our mental strain, and we don't practice getting into relaxation. We don't practice down-regulating, so we don't know how to do it, and we don't know the value of it. It's also ancient. It's totally free. You know, what I love about breathwork is, yeah, you need some guidance, but at the end of the day, it's totally free. It's completely accessible. You don't need any tools. You have your diaphragm. That's all you need. And so it's really beautiful that anybody anywhere can really utilize this. And, you know, sitting down and doing your meditation practice or doing a formal breath practice is great. But what I always teach my students is breathing is only functional if you can take it with you into all of your daily activities. So especially in a crisis situation or a major stressor situation, you don't always have the option to say, okay, time out. I got to go in my corner and sit down and do my breathing. Yeah. So what I teach my students, we say, okay, well, how can we downregulate the nervous system when you have to stand there in the moment with this thing, confronting this thing, and still get control of your breathing, you know? And so if you don't have the option to walk away and you have to remain standing somewhere or even continue moving through space, even continue walking on your journey, if you're standing in place, just take a wider stance, really ground yourself into the earth, bend your knees slightly, get your spine aligned. If your spine is aligned, your breathing can go deeper more easily. Your diaphragm has better leverage to move properly. And then always, even if you think you look foolish, this thing about putting the hands on the lower ribs and just focusing on deepening the breath, even if you have to stand there confronting the stressor you're confronting, is super useful for helping to down regulate.
This and is kind of like a superwoman pose.
Anyway. Yeah, superwoman. It's very empowering.
So it feels good. It feels more empowering to do that anyway. So
right. Then just shrink away. Then just shrink away. Yeah, for sure.
Do you want to lead us into about 10 minutes of exercises now? Yeah.
Definitely. I'm going to put my timer on so that I'm sure to stay on time. So the first exercise, guys, I'd love to do two exercises with you, and they serve two different purposes. So the first one, really quickly, is what I call mini breath holds. Okay. And so they're just going to be very brief 5-second breath holds with a 10-second pause in between. What is the purpose of this breathing technique? This is something that you can practice when you start to get the anxious thought right at the beginning. I'm feeling anxious. I have a ton of mental chatter. I can't make a good decision. I can't focus. My breathing is getting out of control. I'm feeling anxious. I need to not fully downregulate. This exercise is about calm, focused attention. So it's not going to downregulate your nervous system so much that you're going to fall asleep. It's going to calm your mind down enough that you can make clearer decisions. It's going to bring more oxygen to the brain, to the heart, to the places you really need it. So I'll explain it quickly, and then I'll do it. I'll guide you guys through it for 3 minutes. You're just going to take a normal breath in and out through your nose. You're going to pinch your nose and hold with your mouth closed. You're going to hold for 5 seconds. You're going to release your nose, and then you're going to continue to breathe softly and quietly in and out through your nose. So you're breathing nasally the entire time, and I'll count us off for about 3 minutes. Here we go. Take a normal quiet breath in and out through your nose. Pinch your nose and hold it. You're going to hold it for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Release your nose and continue breathing softly and quietly in and out of your nose for about 10 seconds. That's only about 2 or 3 breaths. And you're focusing on your breathing during this 10 seconds, deepening it and slowing it down. And again, take a normal quiet breath in and out through your nose, pinch your nose and hold it for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Release your nose, find your normal, quiet, soft nasal breath for about 10 seconds. Feeling that breath coming all the way into the lungs deeply, but gently. Effortless. Take a normal quiet breath in and out through your nose. Pinch your nose and hold. And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Release your nose. Normal quiet nasal breathing for about 10 seconds. Bringing your mind fully into your body. Good. And again, take a normal quiet breath in and out through your nose. Pinch your nose and hold it. 4, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Release your nose. Normal, quiet breathing for about 10 seconds. You guys are halfway through this exercise. Normal, quiet breathing. And again, take a normal breath in and out through your nose. Pinch your nose and hold. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, release your nose, normal, quiet breathing for about 10 seconds. We're almost done. Focusing on quiet nasal breathing. We're going to do 2 more. Take a normal, quiet breath in and out through your nose. Pinch your nose and hold. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, release your nose, normal, quiet breathing for about 10 seconds. We'll do 1 final breath hold. And here we go. Take a normal quiet breath in and out through your nose. Pinch your nose and hold. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Release your nose and just find your normal quiet breathing, keeping the lips closed. Very nice job. So that's a really good one. Whenever you hold your breath, it immediately has to take you out of your mind and bring you into your body. It's sort of a survival thing. So it's a great way to get out of your head.
And can I make a suggestion? Just if, sure. If you just did that with us, maybe just take a moment. I'm doing this internally as well. To notice how much your stress levels have gone down. You can even, before doing this, maybe rate your stress level 1 to 10. And yes. Then at the end, rate it 1 to 10.
Perfect suggestion. Notice,
I mean, I did that internally. I think it went down by about 7.
Whoa, great.
Because I've been running around, you know, yeah. This morning, getting everything together. And it's like, and you know, and what's happened to me, and I'll just share this, and maybe you can relate, people who are listening, is that a lot of times when we lock down in stress, we lose insight of the possibilities, which means the potentials of different things, different paths you could go down, the possibilities in your situation. There's always possibilities. There's always opportunities to make a choice, right?
Yeah.
And so with this breathing and lowering the stress, it's like, I feel like only coming from the heart center, but also just like my mind just feels more open to possibilities.
Beautiful.
And that's awesome.
I love that feedback. That is great. That's exactly what we want to happen.
Yay! I did right. That's what that means.
Well, no right or wrong, guys. It's self-exploration. You have to find the technique that works best for your needs, just so we're clear. And not every breath technique might work for you. So keep playing around with it. And what Nikki said is spot on. If you can rate it beforehand and then after and notice the difference, that's a good technique for you if you get a big change. So Nikki, can we go through this second exercise? Do we have a couple minutes left?
Okay. Yeah.
So now this exercise is really the classic down regulator. Okay. This is the, you want to get ready for sleep, or you just encountered a massive stressor and you have to get into a position of calm. Like you're very overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. This is the one that's really going to bring you into parasympathetic mode. It's super basic. It's been around for thousands of years. I have no idea who invented it. Maybe even some of you have experienced this breath rhythm in the past. You're simply going to breathe nasally again the entire time with your lips gently closed, and you're going to be breathing in for 4 counts and out for 6 counts. So whenever we extend the exhale longer than the inhale, you're more so activating a parasympathetic response in the body. So you can do that casually anytime during your day, but I always suggest this after encountering a major stressor or as preparation for a deep sleep. Just do it right in your bed on the way to sleep. Okay, so I'm gonna guide us through it for about 3 minutes. I'll count the whole time. You're gonna breathe in through your nose for 4 and out through your nose for 6. Here we go. Breathing in, 2, 3, 4, and out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and in, 2, 3, 4, and out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and in, 2, 3, 4, and out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and in, 2, 3, 4, and out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and in, 2, 3, 4, and out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and in, 2, 3, 4, and out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and in, 2, 3, 4, and out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and in, 3, 4, and out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and in, 2, 3, 4, and out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and in, 2, 3, 4, and out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and in, 2, 3, 4, and out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and in, 3, 4, and out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, last time in, 2, 3, 4, and out, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, good. And so after a breath technique like that, you want to keep your eyes closed for a few minutes and really just allow yourself to absorb that calm, that parasympathetic energy, right? Really connecting with what it means to finally relax, to finally surrender, to finally let go, to feel lighter, right? To really get out of the mind. And also, you know, we only did that actually for about 2 minutes. I cut it short for the sake of time. And I want you guys, if you did try this and you felt a change, I want you to notice how quickly you can create change in your body by tapping into your breathing. If you only have a minute, if you only have 2 minutes, it's worth practicing because it makes a big shift in the internal environment.
So good. So even if, like, even if you have a minute,
right,
that would help.
It's gonna definitely help. For yeah. Sure.
You know, a lot of times we will get, you say, you mentioned surrender and yeah. letting go of control. Well, yeah. a lot of times our mind will say, I can't surrender. Mm-hmm. I can't give up control because mm-hmm. this thing has happened to me. I have to maintain control. I have to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we go there quickly to kind of, I don't want to say convince ourselves, but to remind ourselves that this is going to get us there. You know what I mean? Like lowering our stress responses, surrendering a little bit with techniques like this is going to help us create a different possibility. But it's, you know what I mean?
It's so hard to get there. What I notice when I coach people privately or even in my small group classes, sometimes people come in and they're really frenzied and their energy is up here and there's no way I'm getting them to sit down and breathe quietly. They're going to be a mess. I try to meet the nervous system where it's at. And so actually holding the breath can be more effective in that case. It's holding right. your breath, even though it sounds counterintuitive, will bring more oxygen to your brain, not less. It gets okay. control of the blood gases again. So when I have someone who's really out of control with the anxiety, mental chatter, if you have that constriction coming up in your chest, yeah. if you feel like you can't let things go, so you're angry,
panic attack
coming on, it sounds counterintuitive. Hold your breath, really hold it. Oh, and you can even push it as long as you can to your comfort level, release, breathe just as well as you can for about 30 seconds, do it again. Breathe for about 30 seconds. Do it again.
That's because of the oxygenation of the blood, right?
Oxygenation of the blood. You're also forcing your breath to slow down without breathing, right? You're holding your breath instead, but in a very conscientious way that has a very specific purpose. And also, like I was saying before, that survival instinct, when I hold my breath, all circuits are go in terms of I'm focused on this one thing now. I'm focused on not being able to breathe. So it just channels and like kind of tunnel visions that energy. So I can't be thinking about the million things that happened to me today. Now I'm thinking about when am I going to be able to breathe again? That's all that's important. So it really takes you out of your head. And then you do that a few times. Hopefully your breathing starts to calm down. Hopefully the mind starts to calm down, then start to transition into something like this 4-6 breath, where now you're meeting the nervous system where it's at and you're not forcing it. You can kind of take it bit by bit.
I love it because, you know, I don't know if anybody has had this experience, but a lot of times I'll be frenzied and I'll do something like I'll stub my toe or I'll hit my head on something. Yeah. I almost sometimes feel like it's my body giving myself a wake up call, because it's like, now I'm focused on the pain, right?
Yes, 100%.
Nothing else matters. So it's like, try to avoid that. Try to avoid hitting your head on a shelf or something.
Right.
Hold your breath and it focuses in there.
Yeah.
And then you can maybe go to do the 4-6 breath.
Yes. Yeah. It's really valuable. I invite everyone to try it. Again, you can do it anywhere. You know, it's awesome. So easy and awesome. Yeah.
And Tara, you have two videos that we're actually going to put a link in the description that kind of go into that more. And you can actually, I mean, it's so great that you have these videos. I mean, you can actually just play that as you're getting used to how to do these breathing techniques. Make it part of your morning routine or in the afternoon when you need a calm down and a pickup. It's real good for balancing.
Yep, 100%.
So those are really great. We'll put the links for exercise 1 and 2
awesome. In there. Thank you.
And do you have some other things that you want to share with us, some other things coming up? You have some stuff that you want to offer to folks as we wrap up.
Yeah. So if anyone is interested in exploring their breath a little bit more deeply and really understanding not just the how, but also the why, I offer on my website something called the Breath Basics 6-Day Challenge. It's a totally free 6-day breath training. You can sign up for it at any time. And what you get every day, you get access to 1 15-minute video tutorial. It's really easy to fit into your schedule. We talk about a different breath technique every day, why it's beneficial, how to do it, and I guide you through a 5-minute practice every day. And so the feedback from people is that it's the perfect length. It's really manageable to fit into their routine, and it just really helps you to start to connect more deeply to your breath awareness and this connection to the nervous system.
Love it. Love it. Okay, we're going to put a link to that.
Great.
Below. And is there anything you want to leave us with? This has been like super valuable. I've learned a lot. I know that people have as well. And is there anything else that you want to add as we wrap up?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, everyone's on their own journey, you know, and don't compare yourself to other people, and just really be okay with where you are and know that the help that you need is always coming. You know, just keep exploring, don't get discouraged, and reach out to people who have been through it. You know, we're all going through that journey, and not everything always works, but eventually things always kind of find their way to you, exactly what you need at exactly the right time. So keep the hope and keep exploring. And I wish everyone just a lot of help and wellness in their life.
I love it. Lower those stress responses through deep breathing, and that insight can come in.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Within you. Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And everyone out there, this is Nikki, aka the Gentle Traveler, with the Victim to Victorious Summit, saying bye. We'll see you next time. Bye.